Now, Norwegian company Equinor, in a move that surprised the nation, has announced its abandonment of a multi-million dollar plan to drill for oil in the Great Australian Bight. A plan fraught with controversy from its inception, for the environmental risks it posed, all seemed full steam ahead with the project, regardless of the criticism it received, until just last week. So what's changed? This morning on The Daily, we are joined by Madeline Taylor, an academic fellow from the University of Sydney, to discuss Equinor's abandonment. Good morning, Madeline.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Now, what factors do you believe prompted the Norwegian company Equinor to abandon its plan to drill in the Great Australian Bight?
Well, it's a wonderful question and it's quite multi-layered. So on record, of course, Equinor has said this is commercial reasons it's abandoned its plans to drill in the Bight, and it follows suits of the other three oil majors who again cited commercial reasons. But I think it's more than just commercial reasons. Whilst money does talk and we're seeing divestment of fossil fuels globally, particularly within the Norwegian pension fund, of course Equinor is owned 2/3 majority by Norway state itself, in which they are actually divesting fossil fuel stocks. So we see the mark here of really a decarbonisation of the energy system, and I believe that Equinor really took this in tow, and its board members indeed actually took the fact that this was a fossil fuel divestment by the Norwegian state government itself. So commercially then, investing in a new petroleum frontier basin like this and opening up the Bight would create huge carbon emissions, essentially. If you're drilling for oil for the first time in a new frontier basin, this is very different to tapping into existing petroleum where there's actually less carbon intensive drilling involved there. So in terms of the commercial case, yes, I think because also Equinor was a single title holder of this exploration production license. That's also very rare in petroleum law. To see a single title holder means that you're not spreading the risks commercially to your joint venturer. For example, usually if we're going into a new petroleum frontier basin, we would have BP and Equinor teaming up, for example. But when Equinor became sole title holder in 2017, that was really the first mark of commercial risk being escalated.
Right, a red flag up.
That this is going to be very expensive, because to be able to even explore for petroleum, that is to drill a well for the first time, requires four types of approvals by our regulator, which is NOPSEMA. And we were only on step one here, the environment plan. And it took Equinor three goes before it could actually get that plan through.
Wow.
So it knew, doing a cost-benefit analysis here, opening up a new frontier basin coupled with this lengthy approvals process, it's been in the region since 2011, saw that this was not a good cost-benefit analysis for them.
Can you tell us about the opposition, those who are opposed to the drilling and reasons behind that?
Certainly.
Obviously environmentally.
Of course. And this is the other tenement to this debate. So whilst there's that bigger picture commercial community argument, the next layer down is the social license to operate. And here we saw that Equinor did not have a social license to operate at all, particularly within the South Australian community, where there was vehement opposition there. And this is for a whole realm of reasons. Just touching on the environmental reasons, the Bight is home to listed threatened marine species, all the way from crustaceans all the way up to our southern right whales, which are extremely precious.
Yeah.
85% of these types of marine species are nowhere found in other places in the world. We also have a strong, fisheries industry in the bluefin tuna as well.
It's just a major amount of risk, really.
Huge risk.
At the Great Australian Bight.
Certainly.
Now, did Equinor recognise the extent of the environmental danger posed by its proposed operations?
Well, it certainly recognised it, but as we've already reiterated, there's been three attempts to get through its environment plan. And the concerns we had at the Sydney Environment Institute in our report that we lodged was the fact that Equinor did not actually indirectly and directly comprehensively address all of the issues with threatened listed species, that is the restoration of the species. So under our environmental commonwealth laws, you actually have to address how and if there is any direct impact to marine species and their reproduction. So not just what is the sound of drilling going to do to fish, for example, but what is the restoration capacity then, or is it diminished or not through the activity of drilling, which it certainly is. We have scientific literature across the board saying that if you have seismic drilling, it is going to disturb the repopulation of fisheries. For example, in Norway, if there is a spawning area for fisheries, then companies are not allowed to drill in that area. It's completely off the board. So the larger question is, why are we allowing drilling in a marine park, a protected listed marine park like the Great Australian Bight? That's why we have marine parks. Yes. It's because we have precious ecological species, and so commercial activities like drilling should not take place there. If we had the same thing on shore, for example, if we had listed threatened species on shore and we were doing an oil drill there, there would be vehement opposition, even more
why
so.
Why should it be different?
So why should it be different? We should own the sea. It is, you know, the Commonwealth of Australia's, and that means that we have sovereign rights as well as citizens to be concerned with this. So I think the larger question is, we've really won the battle here, but the war is still on in terms of protecting the Bight permanently. That is, no drilling in a marine protected area. It should be off the table, and there's many people and many experts who have spoken out against this to actually bring about a bill to make this a World Heritage listed site.
That's absolutely really good points and very, very interesting. That's all we've got time for, but thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Dr. Madeline Taylor, an academic fellow of the University of Sydney, speaking with us here on The Daily about the Equinor's shocking decision to abandon plans to drill in the Great Australian Bight and what comes next for Australia's oil and gas industry. Lots of questions that need to be answered there.